Monday, April 13th, and I'll read off our legal statement here again. So we're getting background noise. Are we good?
I think we're good.
Okay. We'll go ahead and begin here. The chair and the general manager of the Willmar Municipal Utilities Commission and our chief legal counsel have determined under Minnesota Statute 13D.021 that in-person meetings of the Municipal Utilities Commission are not practical or prudent due to the COVID-19 health pandemic and the peacetime emergency declared by Governor Walz pursuant to Minnesota Statutes Chapter 12, and that our meetings, including this meeting, shall therefore be conducted by telephone or other electronics pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.021 until such a time as it is no longer impractical or imprudent for this commission to resume in-person meetings. All right, with that, do we have any changes to our agenda today? Hearing none, I'll move into our consent agenda. Today it consists of our minutes from our March 23rd meeting, as well as bill payments in the amount of roughly $500,000. And General Manager Heron, could I maybe have you walk us through the payments today?
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. We have one that we need to point out here that should have been highlighted that was not. It is on page 5. I have it up here. It's to the City of Willmar for $122,949. That is our share, our cost of the water main projects for last year. Typically, it's the end of the year before they close them out, and it's in the spring when we receive that payment. So, that one was not highlighted in your bill, so I'd like to point that one out. In addition to that, there was two other additional capital projects that were highlighted. Here's the second one, King's Electric on page 6. So unless there's any additional questions, that would be our capital projects in this listing.
Commissioners, any questions on the bill payments? If not, I'd look for a resolution for approval.
I'll make that resolution, Rose.
I'll second.
We have a resolution and a second. I think that was Commissioner Erickson with the second.
Yes.
Any discussion or questions? Once more, any discussion or questions? If not, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll.
Certainly. Commissioner Erickson?
Aye.
Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Thank you.
And that resolution carries. Thank you. Next, we'll look at our planning committee meeting minutes from April 2nd. And I'll call on the right commissioner this time. Commissioner DeBleek, I'll let you give us an intro on the minutes here.
Yeah. Thank you. I guess the planning committee met on April 2nd. It was a Zoom conference meeting. We talked about the potential of the COVID-19, the impact it's going to have on utilities. And there is some recommendations that the committee has. And I think I'll turn over to John because he's got a PowerPoint he wanted to go through. So
you want to take it from there, John? Thank you, Commissioner DeBleek. Here's the PowerPoint that was presented to the planning committee that the planning committee asked if we would just carry it forward to the commission as a whole, as it's important for the commission to understand some of the detail of what is driving our focus as we speak today. So with that said, I will turn this over to Michelle to run through it as Michelle put the PowerPoint together for us. So Michelle, do you want to take it away, please?
I sure can. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So as John mentioned, this PowerPoint was presented to the planning committee on April 2nd. We made some updates based on planning committee recommendations and even an update after that. As this first slide is just kind of a recap of what's been going on, why we are here where we are, and that the coronavirus was declared a public health emergency. We have a statewide stay-at-home order. We also talked about the WMU employees are tier 2 essential. Everyone currently reports to work as usual. The WMU lobby was closed to the public on March 19th, originally to reopen April 15th. That has now been extended through May 4th based on the extension of the governor's stay-at-home order. And there has been work done, so if everyone does need to work remotely, that can happen. The purpose of putting this together is to review the potential financial impact that we have. As you know, this virus, this pandemic, has caused a lot of uncertainty in jobs, financial situations, etc. So we went through, and the top five customers are about 30% of our total revenue, looking at electric and water. And four of those five customers, as far as we know, continue to operate as normal. No changes to what they have going on at this time. We will likely see a loss in revenue due to the pandemic, mainly looking at our restaurants and small businesses that have limited operations. And then our account delinquencies and bankruptcies are likely to increase with those who maybe have lost their job or are furloughed, anything like that. And we wanted to point out that we do have a catastrophic event fund in the amount of $3 million. And looking at this slide, I will actually turn it over to Jaron, and he can explain more about this.
Thanks, Michelle. We did want to kind of take a look at how the changes, businesses closing, people working from home actually affected our load. So I went back to get a baseline and pulled data from 2014 all the way through today. And what that data really showed is that last year, the year 2019, was really a good reference point for an average, and the tables show that data. But also when we look at so far this year in 2020, we notice we're about 5.5% lower than what our 6-year average is. And I really looked at a couple different dates. March 17th was when the governor closed a lot of the public facilities, fitness centers, bars, and restaurants, and that thing. And I also looked really closely at March 27th, which is when that first stay-at-home order was issued. And I did not see any big change in load during those times. So I tried to figure out, okay, well, why are we 5.5% lower? And consistently throughout the year, not even just in March, the temperature has been the biggest effect on that. Michelle pulled up a bunch of our temperature history, and on average we're 8 degrees warmer than we were in 2019. So based on all of the information that I've been able to pull today, the data really doesn't support a reduction in electric load due to the COVID-19.
Thank you, Jaron. To expand on that just a little bit, as Jaron said, our data coming into the first of the year, which was warmer than normal, we started out the year with a 5% reduction in load. Now, is it going to remain? That we don't know yet. However, on Friday, we got information coming out of all the ISOs. We belong to MISO. So the low is in the New England district, and they're seeing load levels dropping off anywhere from 3 to 5%. And in California's high end, they're seeing loads as of Friday down 5 to 8%. So if we're somewhere in the middle there, we can expect to see somewhere around a 4 to 5% reduction in load as we continue to go forward here. So at staff level, we will continue to monitor that and keep the commission posted. Hey, Michelle.
All right, so putting these numbers into dollars, we looked at our potential financial losses, and you can see the data there, each of the individual assumptions and estimates, and we came up with $3,025,000 as a potential financial loss. And looking at the next step, we took a look at where can we find $3.3 million. And some of the things we looked at in the capital improvement plan were these items, and that is a $2.2 million, I don't want to say savings, these are things that will just be moved to next year. We also looked at our O&M budgets, and there was about $245,000 worth of potential savings there as well.
And to put things in perspective, as Michelle stated, we looked at our budget, staff sat down in all departments, and we looked to give you somewhat of an idea what we're talking about. In our energy service,
your voice is breaking.
$460,000 that we had budgeted for our load control modules. We can push those off depending on how the summer goes. In engineering, the big items there is our underground replacement of 150. We got transmission line work of another 100. In facilities, we got our building. We had $600,000 in our capital budget for building land acquisition for the part of that project. In distribution, we had a bucket truck and we got street lighting downtown. We'll be working with the city to push that downtown street lighting off a year if need be, or two. And in the water, we didn't have any large items over 100,000. We had a lot of little items that totaled 351,000 there. So gives you a little bit of an idea of some of the items that we're looking at delaying if our revenue or sales are down 5, 6, 8%, which in turn affects our cash position. We're trying to maintain our financial strength here at the utility by trying to stay ahead of what potentially is coming. Okay, Michelle.
All right, we put all of this information into a tidy summary, looking at our potential losses of $3.025 million, our capital projects delayed of $2.2 million, and our O&M projects to delay $244,000. The potential shortage that we would have is about $572,000. Again, that is before touching that catastrophic event fund. So we would have that $3 million there to help cover that $572,000. And just a note on that, we would intend to repay that fund in the next year, so that we would retain that $3 million fund in the future. We also looked at district heat commission decommissioning. There have been some questions out there if we can extend that. We looked at our options, and we have to stick with that June 30th decommissioning date. With the rental boiler, with our staffing, with our gas supply, as it says, there is no practical or feasible solution to extend it past that. So we are still working with customers, talking to people. Joel is working on that closely, making sure that everyone knows this is still going forward. We also wanted to just point out some public assistance options, and John has some more information about that, but there were some suggestions about perhaps donating to some different organizations to help those who might have trouble making their payments or have troubles in other aspects of their life. Do you want to add to that, John?
Sure, thank you. UCAP, we talked about UCAP. Since we met with the planning committee about different options that we have here, at that time, it appeared that there'd be $900 additional dollars at the federal level put into our LIHEAP program, which is the program that funds UCAP. They are now talking about adding an additional $4.3 billion to the LIHEAP program. So hopefully the LIHEAP program will have enough dollars to help those that need assistance. So it'll be wait and see on the LIHEAP, which funds UCAP here in Wilmer. Salvation Army, it's something that at Planning Commission level, it was noted that staff should stay in contact with them to see if they would need any additional dollars. And then also the Candiac County Area Food Shelf, there was some desire to maybe send them a donation, depending on where things go and or Wilmer Fest. And as of Friday, everybody's well aware, or probably is well aware of the fact that Wilmer Fest has canceled. So this is something that we will bring back to the planning committee to talk about where things are going and if we want to make a donation to the food shelf and or to the Salvation Army if they need some additional funds to help customers pay their bills. Any questions there before I turn it back over to Michelle? All right, Michelle.
Right. So just to summarize what we have here, you know, obviously with COVID-19, our businesses and our residents are being impacted. And there are many ways, not just one that we can address. And management staff recognize the need to tighten the budgets. Capital projects that can be reasonably delayed have been identified. And staff will keep the planning committee informed of changes to the projections as we go forward with this. And our recommendation is that we recommend that the projects we've identified be temporarily suspended. The PUC is also asking all utility providers to waive late penalties and suspend disconnections, recommending that we follow that. And again, as John mentioned, potentially contribute to UCAP and Salvation Army, and we will bring that back to the planning committee based on that new information as well.
Thank you, Michelle. After a planning committee meeting, we talked about whether it would be appropriate to wait for the commission meeting to respond to the Department of Commerce, or if we should respond that day, as the Department of Commerce was looking for a response by April 3rd. So the commission or the planning committee directed us to respond to the commission accordingly. And the reason that's important, the Department of Commerce wanted a response from all the utilities by April 3rd as they are looking at legislation mandating the waiving of late penalties and the disconnections. The IOUs, the XLs, the Minnesota Power, the Otter Tails, they were mandated by the PUC, and the PUC requested that munis and co-ops follow suit. And if not, they were going to pursue legislation. From what I understand, as of Friday, it sounds like there is still legislation being pursued mandating it. At MMUA level, on Friday, on our legislative meeting, the consensus of those on the call, they would prefer to see the cold weather rule guidelines extended versus additional legislation. So don't know where that's going to end up, but Wilmer is doing its part to comply with the Department of Commerce's request not to charge late payments or to disconnect customers. So with that, I will turn it back over to Commissioner Mattern and or Commissioner DeBleek for action on the minutes.
Thank you both, John and Michelle. Commissioner DeBleek, did you have any additional comments that you wanted to add for the Planning Committee minutes? Is he muted? Did we lose him? Bruce, you're still Bruce muted. Had...
There
you are. Go ahead, Bruce.
I'd make a motion that we'd approve the minutes as presented.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, Commissioner Weber, we have a second. So we have a motion and a second on the minutes, which includes staff's recommendation with the three items that were listed. And just to clarify, the temporary suspension of the O&M projects is only temporary, and that's a fluid situation that'll continue to be monitored and brought to us in the future if any adjustments are needed.
That would be correct. Well, staff will continue to monitor. We're hoping that at least a proportion of our capital projects we can move forward with that we noted there, but we need to continue to monitor the progress of our COVID-19 here, coronavirus.
Okay. So again, I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I have a quick question, Mr.
Go ahead.
Mr. Matter. My understanding is that of course, because of the difficult times now, the closure for the lobby will be extended until May. I was wondering, looking around, because of the way our customers pay their bills is several ways. Some of them drop in, some of them, they like to really bring their cash, especially those who have a difficulty of reading and writing, who are basically illiterate in multiple different languages, you know, that they always like to come and present at the lobby. As soon as the lobby is closed, I understand that the banks, actually, I was just going through the banks. Sometimes they allow customers to use their they allow drive-throughs and things of that nature. Since we have that glass, is it possible to at least allow some of those customers one by one, although we have to look at the safety of also our staff, to allow them to actually pay in person, or even have a door that, like maybe a buzzer, we allow each, one by one customers to come in and pay their bills in person? Is that a possibility that I'm just trying to throw out there?
Sure, I can take that, Commissioner Mabu. Is a possibility. My initial question that I would have, or that we would need to answer, would be, if we have a line outside, would we be able to maintain separation? Would our customers respect that separation rather than transmit or potentially pass the virus on?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
That's a good one.
Do you have an idea, Denise? Are customers that typically pay cash, are we receiving phone calls from them asking about cash payments, or are they paying credit card and or sending checks?
We've had a few that have called asking about it. We've just instructed them they can certainly put the cash payment in our Dropbox, and we check that 3 times a day. We haven't really had anybody that's indicated it's a real struggle for them to pay us. Most have just been using their debit cards online. Some have opted to, mail a check, but not as many as I expected with as many cash payments as we typically get. They're finding other resources to pay us.
Thanks, Denise.
One of the issues that I realized, that people, since I, my business is downtown, people are thinking that, because everything is closed and you're not, supposed to pay, or some of them maybe, they'll just hold their cash thinking that they are not obligated to pay this. So it will be really a good opportunity to give them, so that it's not going to be an excuse in the future that I didn't know, or I thought we're not supposed to pay, or things of that nature. And John, what you mentioned, the separation, if you look at the system that they're using right now at Walmart, I mean, they're doing a really good job in terms of, customers, how they're spacing. So I'm just concerned that people will pile up their payment, and later on becomes it difficult for them to pay for the utilities. So is there any other way that we can mitigate that issue, future challenge that might come to us? So that was my only concern.
Yeah, no, it's a very legitimate concern, Commissioner Mabu. Our lobby is small. It's hard to keep 6-foot separation in our lobby between customers if they start coming in. So, that's why I mentioned we almost have to keep the line outside. And the other thing we can do too, Denise, when is our next past due notices up? We can look to see how many customers, that pay us cash that are on that list, and get a pulse a little bit on that scenario that you referred to. How many are hanging on to their cash, hoping we're going to open up and they come in? We'd probably be able to identify a certain number of them by looking at account history when our next delinquent is up. So when's our next round up, Denise, for past dues?
That's today. The due date was Friday, so we'll be running a cycle today. We're obviously not charging them the penalty, but we'll still be running that cycle.
So yeah, we'll take a look at that and see once how many of our cash customers are running delinquent here, and see if there's a concern there that we need to be looking at or need to be addressing, and then how can we address it if we need to.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Commissioner Mabu.
Yeah, John, to Commissioner Mabu's point, I wonder if there is somewhat of a messaging issue, if that's part of the concern here. I wonder if it would be worth, utilizing our website and social media to post some sort of a message or set of instructions of all the alternative ways to pay, and what options folks have. And in fact, we could even post like a QR code right on the door. So if folks show up at the utility, they could scan that QR code. It would take them right to the website or to Facebook, and they'd be able to view those instructions or that information there.
Sure. Denise or Michelle, did you want to enlighten the commissioners on what we have out there on our web and Facebook and on our doors and the message signs that we have, please?
We do have in all of those places where to make the payments online, the phone number for the phone bank, and of course the Dropbox and then the Smart Hub app. So those are out there. My question to Commissioner Mabu would be, are there any other outlets that those who, as you mentioned, are maybe illiterate in reading, not just English, but even if we had it translated into Somali, that maybe couldn't read it, are there any other outlets that we could provide maybe verbal instructions to them?
Yeah, well, you know, because my concern was because I know some individuals that are not able even to read Somali, even if we translate it to Somali, they're not able to read. So we have that issue. So that I was just suggesting, you know, that, you know, if, you know, one of the things we could do is just to maybe have the main entrance door, maybe a buzzer that one by one allowing them to come in, or something of that nature would be helpful, you know, so that just my worries is just so that, you know, the rumors are going around and people are thinking, you know, that there is a stimulus package, there's non-payment, that you don't have to pay that. So there is wrong information that's floating around. So I don't want these people just to think about, you know, that not, you're not obligated to pay and then later on realize, you know, that they'd be in jeopardy.
So perhaps, that's my concern. Perhaps I can give you a call this afternoon, Commissioner, and we can just review some ideas and see if there are some other things that we could do to help those that population.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Thanks, if that's Michelle. Acceptable.
That sounds good.
Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, Commissioner Mabu.
Any other commissioners with questions on the motion that we have on the table? Any other questions? All right. With the motion, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take a roll on that one, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mabu?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Thank you.
And that motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Good discussion. All right. Next item, I'll turn over to our Director of Finance, Ms. Runge, for the approval of the fund balance allocations.
Thank you. This is our annual allocation of funds. You'll see some of the top funds are no longer necessary due to us paying off the bonds last July. Those funds have been moved down to the Municipal Utility Commission designated funds. The funds that we are proposing to increase this year are our Catastrophic Reserve Fund. We're proposing to increase that by $1 million. Water Treatment Plant Reserve Fund, we're proposing to increase that. And our Transmission Construction Fund, we've talked a lot about the investment that is coming sooner rather than later on our transmission system. We've proposing to reallocate the $4 million that we had in the Generation Construction Fund, as well as to add some additional funds to that bucket. That project is anticipated to be approximately $10 million. So this will get us very close to having that $9 million allocated in there. The last piece you'll see is that our unallocating operating reserve is a little bit lower than what we've typically left it. That is due to the fact that this year we have utilized a separate piece within our checking account. It's called a 4MP fund that allows us to earn a little bit larger interest rate on it, but we still have liquid funds available. And with this transmission project coming pretty quickly, we're wanting to keep some of those funds more liquid. And so we do have $4.5 million in that fund that is not reflected in this balance here of our investments. So That is why we've left that unallocated operating reserve fund a little bit lower this year, because of those funds that are in our checking account. Does anyone have any questions on the proposed allocations?
Not hearing any questions. Thank you for the update there, Denise. Commissioners, I'd be looking for a motion for approval then of the fund balance.
So move, Carol.
I'll second, Cole.
We have a motion and a second for approval of the fund balance allocation. Any discussion or questions? Any discussion? All right, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll on that motion, please.
Commissioner Lammer?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Thank you.
That motion carries. Thank you, everyone. All right, next on the agenda, we have the utilities annual update to the Wilmer City Council. General Manager Heron.
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. What we have here is, as Commissioner Mattern indicated, our annual update. Michelle put this together. She put most of the work into this, pulling from what we have going here at WMU, as well as at MMUA. This year, we did not have our MMUA legislative rally, but the topics listed here would have been and are the topics that are being discussed legislatively, which most of our legislative work is on hold down there because of COVID. And then our APPA legislative rally position statements are noted here as well. That's typically in the past what our updates to the Wilmer City Council consisted of. I do not intend to go through them unless you want me to, but what we're looking for is for input from the commission. If there's anything that we should add, anything that you feel we do not need to update the city council on, we'll update this document accordingly. Then we will reach out to the city council, push it out, and maybe meet with them by Zoom this year, as in the past, only instead of individually, because the city council has to comply with open meeting rules and regulations as well. So we'd meet in small subset groups. And once we have those dates identified, Beth will set those up. Then we'll reach out to the commission, the commissioners, to see if any of the commissioners would have time to sit in on any of the meetings with the city council. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Commissioner Mattern for input from the commission regarding the document information.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Commissioners, any questions, anything that you see that's missing from this document or anything that ought to be omitted that's not necessary here?
I thought it was pretty complete and gives a real good overview on what's happening and what has happened.
Anyone else with feedback?
Yes, John, question on the power plant, the environmental work. Is that in progress or is that on hold because of COVID-19?
No, that's in progress. We had issued that contract prior to this COVID hitting. And actually the kickoff meeting was today. They are here today. They started their work.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments on the document? If not, I would certainly encourage commissioners, once the Zoom meetings are set up and put out there, to try and sign up and attend at least one of them. You know, if we can cycle through, I know in the past we've all tried to participate in that. I think it's important that we all try to participate in this next round, whatever that includes, whether it's Zoom or however we pull that off. So certainly encourage participation there. The document looks good, John. I appreciate you guys and staff's work in putting this together. I know there's a lot of information to cover, so it's a lot of good details there.
I guess, Commissioner Mattern, if I could, as long as we have Council Member Muskie on the phone, is there anything that Council Member Muskie feels we should touch on besides what we have here?
I think it's a pretty thorough document, and I was just going to say, in general, I really appreciate these types of meetings, and I think we should continue to do them. It's going to become increasingly important to keep that open dialogue between the commission and the council. So I think it looks good.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate that feedback. That's good. All right. We'll continue on with that.
One other comment or question, Justin, if you can.
Go ahead.
With the broadband, the pole attachments, and what's going on with broadband right now with the usage of it during this shutdown epidemic or whatever, lockup, whatever you want to call it. Is there anything more that we can be doing to improve broadband in the community and throughout the area?
Commissioner DeBleek, that's a very good question. I know my own experience. I don't know what's going on out there, but typically I have very little broadband at my place. And since this COVID started, it's unbelievable. My wife is working from home and we haven't lost internet service once. Michelle sits on the county's broadband committee. Have you been hearing anything, Michelle, through the committee or from Connie on concerns being expressed with the lack of internet out there with all the students and kids?
Commissioner DeBleek also sits on that committee. Yes. And our last meeting was by Zoom, and I guess I don't recall hearing anything that was of an utmost concern. There's always that concern for the students who just simply don't have internet or a way to get it, but it sounds like the Verizons and the AT&Ts of the world have, you know, boosted their availability. So do you have anything to add to that, Commissioner DeBleek?
I know there's a lot of holes in it yet, even, mm-hmm. you know, when you're using a lot more bandwidth with this, both, you know, when you're confined in your house, and just wondering if MMUA or have talked any more about broadband or what can be done with it.
I believe if we ever get back onto legislative issues, that is on right here. Here's MMUA's statement at the APPA legislative conference. So
right.
MMUA is monitoring progress. They're pushing for additional funding. They're supporting additional funding for broadband, but it's been a discussion that has been put, you know, to the side for the time being.
And I think, took a day, my a vacation day, and went to the broadband day on the Hill, which was, we were about the last group to go through the Capitol before all of this, the shutdown and closures and everything. And I think that is where everyone's mind was at. They were more on COVID now, and broadband was kind of pushed to the side. But I do foresee a lot of changes coming up out from this, from an education and a medicine standpoint, that I would expect our legislatures will be much more interested in funding projects and getting accessible broadband out there.
Thanks, Michelle.
Good comments. Yes. Any, Bruce, you still had more?
Some things for thought or discussion. So.
Good thoughts for sure. Thank you. All right, we'll move on with the agenda, looking at our wind turbine report. Our facilities and maintenance supervisor, Mr. Marty.
Thank you, President Mattern. As you can see, we had a real nice March. Availability is kind of holding steady in that 97 to just under 100% range on the turbines. Have had no major outages, and we had a real nice wind month in March, which put us at 827,205 kilowatt hours, which if you look on page 2 at the history, going over 800,000 kilowatt hours is kind of a big deal. It doesn't happen very often, and has not happened in the month of March since 2017, so we feel real good about that. One other item of note, within the next month or two, we will be having Renew Energy out of Sioux Falls will be here, and they will be going up on Tower 3 to with a man basket to identify the requote the needed repairs on that tower. Turbine 4, of course, was completed last year. So they'll be here in the near future to give us an updated quote on those repairs.
Sounds good. Thanks for the update on that. Commissioners, any questions on the wind turbine reports? All right. Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Next topic is electric vehicles. Ms. Marotsky, you're up again.
Before, Michelle, if I can interject here, just before we turn it over to you, this is one of the educational topics that we have for the commissions at the request of the commission. Next meeting, there will be another educational topic at the request of the commission. So what we have here, yes, it affects our business, but it's information that we're presenting to the commission to help make the commission aware of what electric vehicles, what's going on out there, and what are options for our customers and opportunities for us as a utility as well as the customers. So with that, Michelle, let me take it away.
All right, so I will just summarize the slides here going forward. You know, our electric vehicles are, they're not really a new thing anymore, but they are still a new thing. People are hesitant to buy them. The range anxiety is still a thing that that industry combats, but they definitely have an impact on, you know, our load, our usage, our rates, everything like that. So I just started this off with just some basic information about the different types of electric vehicles. You've maybe heard of the hybrids versus all electric. And I did get an answer back from the Department of Public Safety that in the zip code of 56201, there are 9 all-electric vehicles and 11 hybrids. So the all-electric obviously are the ones you just plug in. That's all you have. When you're done, you're done. You need to find a plug-in. With the hybrids, you could, it has that gas combustion engine to back up when you run out of electricity. And here is a chart just explaining the level 1, level 2, and the DC fast charge. So the level 1 is really what you're going to see in homes. They're a 120 volt AC plug. Get home, plug it into the outlet, let it charge. It's probably going to take about all, you know, a good 8 to 12 hours to get a full battery on that. Level 2 is a little bit faster. You're 240 volt at residential and 208 in commercial. And then the DC fast charge, those are the ones where those are the charging stations. And the thing to remember with this is that the range, it depends on the model. Every, you know, there's the Chevy Volt, there are, you know, the Nissan Leaf, the Teslas, all of those, they have different levels that they may vary. So just because one is you get 60 to 80 miles, another one you may get more or less. And weather is definitely, the colder it is, the harder it is on the battery as well. Wireless charging is a, it's an interesting thing. I didn't know about it until I started putting this together. It is basically putting a pad in your garage, just like your cell phone, if you use a wireless charger for that. So you pull the car up over the pad and it has conductors on the bottom of it that you charge from that. Some of the options are you can just lay the pad on the floor. Other, you know, if you really want to be fancy, you can have it built into the garage floor. But BMW is working on that pilot program right now. And again, the challenge is that not all electric vehicles have the same fast charge connectors. So, for example, if you are driving a Nissan Leaf and you go by a charging station for the Teslas, it may or may not be compatible. So those are some industry challenges that they are still working out. I looked up plugshare.com. There are many sites to look up the different chargers, the public chargers. This is just one of them. That one shows that there are 2 public chargers in our zip code, the Wilmer zip code, and that is at Goodwill and out at Mills, I believe Nissan. In the county, there are 7 public chargers. Now, 2 of those, one is at Sibley State Park, the other is at one of the county parks. So what those really are, that website did not tell me if they're just plug-in outlets or if there's something else. It did have New London listed, so I would presume those are the ones that are at the hotel over there. And we also wanted to make a mention about the Zeph Energy with the settlement, the Volkswagen settlement. So we have had discussions with Zeph, but there is not an agreement in place right now. Looking at, you know, EV charging, our rebates and our rates, Missouri River, of course, we are part of their Bright Energy Solutions rebate program. And you can see there are several options there that they have for customers who are installing chargers. We even have an electric forklift program that is a $2,000 rebate. And then, of course, EV charging would be eligible for the off-peak rate as long as they have a load controller on that. We would require that as well. And to summarize everything, as I mentioned, the electric vehicles, they're still a novelty. If you know someone or see someone who has one, it's still kind of a cool thing for them to show. It's likely to change as people just become more energy conscious and thinking about those things. They're reducing their gas use. An increase in electric vehicles means a potential increase in load. So we are watching that, keeping an eye on it, giving these updates. And electricians have started to install the 110 volt or 120 volt electrical outlets in the residential garages. I'm just anticipating that the homeowner might purchase it. Now in my garage, I have an outlet right by my door. I have an outlet up on the ceiling. So they are likely putting these outlets in a more convenient spot that the homeowner could just plug them in quickly and not have to walk over them or have them hanging from a garage, however they're doing that. Any questions about the electric vehicles or anything that we're seeing here?
Michelle, thank you. Not sure what the commission was looking for. Hopefully at staff level, we were able to, you know, target the information that helps the commissioners understand where the electric vehicle industry is going. So if there's additional information you want, you know, please reach out to us and we can provide additional information as needed or required.
Thank you, Michelle. I like to kind of getting it all in one spot. Let you look it all up and I can just look at what you found out.
Thank you for the summary, Michelle. Commissioners, any other thoughts or questions on the report? I know there's more discussion to be had on this as this continues to be a growing thing in the world. So I'm sure we'll be hearing more on that. All right, we'll move on to our next topic, the March 2020 Missouri River and WMMPA board meeting summary. General Manager Herron.
All right, thank you, President Mattern. A couple things to note here. We do not have the video as the board is also meeting by Zoom. So actually, last meeting was not by Zoom. They're hoping to meet here. This coming meeting was Zoom. The last meeting was just a conference call. But with that said, they did approve the interest rate swap. And there's significant savings under general managers or the press release there. It's millions of dollars that are saved there. Hopefully that'll have a positive impact on our rates. And then also number two here, the Marshall Wind Farm. Yes, they purchased the Marshall Wind Farm. It does not increase the percentage of energy that's coming from wind, as Missouri River was buying all of the output from that wind farm already. So our percentage of renewables will remain the same by that purchase. So is there additional questions there on the update from Missouri River?
Any questions, commissioners?
John, by one question on that Marshall Wind Farm project, is that a cost savings for MRES to own the wind farm versus
leasing?
What?
Actually, a very good question, Commissioner DeBleek. There was a significant savings over what they were contracted to pay for the energy. That's what prompted them to buy it. And I don't know what the dollar amounts are, but I know there was a significant, it was noted that there was a significant savings for the purchase of that versus continuing to just buy the output.
John, do you know... Hey. Go ahead, and Commissioner DeBleek, did you have additional questions?
I was going to say, because I know the age of those wind turbines is probably a little bit older than the ones that we have here. And you wonder about what kind of condition they are in as far as the blades and the
That's a very legitimate concern. Actually, Kevin mentioned Renewed. Missouri River hired Renewed to do a full study on those turbines to assess the cost of the maintenance, upcoming maintenance that could potentially be there if they were to purchase them. And that was completed before they purchased them.
Yeah, it sounds like they did their homework. So thanks, John.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
That was a good question. Yeah, had you heard, John, if there's any projected life expectancy, if they had any numbers on that at all?
That I did not hear.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that update. We'll move on to the next agenda item. We've got Joe Schmidt's Silent Impact Resolution. Ms. Johnson.
Good morning. Joe Schmidt continues to send us our monthly updates in a video form, and he has been sending a personal note along with each one. But I just want you to know that the response from staff has really been positive, and I do hear back from staff each month after viewing his videos. So I truly believe it was a great investment.
Okay. Give me just a second here. We'll see if we can bring it up.
Hello to my friends in Wilmer. Joe Schmidt here with your impact resolution for the month of March. And in March, we're going to talk about patience. Patience is a tough one.
Don, you'll have to stop sharing your screen and then share your Joe Schmidt video screen.
With being better at patience. You know, they say that patience is a virtue. That's true. But sometimes patience is impossible because it takes effort, it takes work, it takes focus, it takes energy to be patient. We are all judged by how we respond.
Hit stop on the video, John.
Respond. How do you respond?
On the Joe Schmidt video?
Yep.
Do a stop sharing at the top of your screen. And maybe you've stopped already, so now share your screen again and pick the Joe Schmidt screen.
It's not letting me do that, Mike.
I'll come and take a look.
So you have your drone screen now. Okay, so make sure the share computer. Click share.
Hello to my friends in Wilmer. Joe Schmidt here with your impact resolution for the month of March. And in March, we're going to talk about patience. Patience is a tough one. How can we all become more patient? How can we all be more aware and more intentional with being better at patience? You know, they say that patience is a virtue. That's true. But sometimes patience is impossible because it takes effort, it takes work, it takes focus, it takes energy to be patient. We are all judged by how we respond. I'm going to say that again. We're all judged by how we respond. How do you respond to stress, to anxiety, to a tough coworker, to a tough situation at work, to a sea of negativity? How you respond is how you're judged. And you can respond one of two ways, emotionally or intellectually. We talked about this a little bit in our session. When you respond emotionally, you're not going to like the result. When you respond intellectually, you're going to be much happier, and you're going to be this person of impact. People are going to judge you like, wow, there's somebody that knows how to handle a tough situation. And that's where we all want to get to. Remember when we were kids and you had to wait for a present? You'd ask for something for Christmas or something for your birthday, and you had to wait. And then if you were lucky enough at the end, you got that present. That was the reward for being patient. I think sometimes as adults, we forget the idea that we can be rewarded for our patience. We can be rewarded for responding in that intellectual way. So what we all need to do is kind of look at what makes us impatient. What can we do to distract ourselves so we respond in that intellectual way? And I think another thing to think about is when you run into one of these situations, will it matter in 5 days? Will it matter in 5 hours? Will it matter in 5 minutes? Many times the answer is no. And that's why sometimes you got to look at it. That's another way to be patient. So this month, what I want you to do is think about wins and losses. Where did you do really well when it came to patience? Where did you maybe fail a little bit and could have done better? And then look at that situation and figure out why you could have responded better and how you could have responded better. Because when you're patient, you can make an impact. That's our impact resolution for the month of March. Be patient, make an impact, and we'll see you next month. Stay warm.
Well, he definitely provides good information as always. Thanks, Janelle, for the update on that and for sharing with us what staff is saying. I know that everybody was very pleased with when he was here, and hopefully this continues to speak to everybody as they see it. So thank you. Commissioners, any additional input on that one? If not, we'll move into the general manager's report.
Thank you, President Matter. General manager's report, the news we released, we talked about the interest swap. A little bit earlier in the agenda, the interest swap amounts to $85 million over the life of the bonds, the savings there, so significant. So that's why they move forward with that swap. And this is just the details, the rest of the details of that, of the press release that they sent out. In addition to that, we also have additional meetings coming up for the planning committee to be determined. Basically, updates on our commodity sales and revenue relating to the COVID 19 issues. So as we have more information there, as things change, we'll continue to keep the commission informed. And in addition to that, we have our water treatment plant that we'll be bringing forward shortly here. We're starting to move forward with that as well. On the backside agenda is also, again, as always, our strategic initiatives that we have listed. So with that, is there any additional questions for me from the commissioners?
Is your staff all staying healthy?
At this point in time, staff and their families all remain healthy. So we're appreciative of that. Things are going well here. Staff were, becoming more accustomed to, and it's becoming more normal, our social distancing and, disinfecting our work areas, maintaining our 6 feet of separation when we have discussions. We continue to maintain separation of staff, meaning line department, et cetera, they're stationed out of two different buildings. Water department stationed out of two different buildings. When they have to go to the shop, they check with each other, make sure that they're not all in the shop to pick up materials or tools at the same time. So we've been picking up lunch once a week for them, trying to support our restaurants here. Usually been on Monday, so being that we had commission meeting today, it'll be tomorrow. Beth will make lunch arrangements for staff in recognition of the additional efforts that they are putting forth here and trying to stay safe and themselves as well as all their coworkers. So all in all, I think it's going as well as can be expected under the circumstances.
That's really good that everybody's staying healthy and family. So kudos, or how we say that, to everybody in that respect and keeping their workspaces clean.
Yes, thank you. I'll pass that on.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear things are continuing to work well with staff there. Hopefully everybody continues to keep their spirits up and keep hanging in there. They're doing a good job, and we certainly appreciate that, especially in this critical time. Any other comments or anything else to come before the commission today?
I guess I have one comment or question. John, I would assume that the APPA National Conference is off the agenda.
Not yet. Beth, have you heard? I don't believe we heard yet that it is. I believe it's still on at this point in time. Do you have any current update, Beth?
At this point, it's still on. I just checked last week, and they think they will have a decision by possibly this week. So by the end of this week, we should have a decision if that's still on or not.
This is Carol, and I'm going to let you know, even if it is on, I'm not going to go.
Okay. Not a problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce, I will let you know, too, if what the outcome is.
Trying to, kind of the same mind as Carol.
Okay.
That if it is uneven, I probably won't be going.
Okay, not a problem. I will make a note of that.
Not only that, I think the conference fees, ain't that part of what we acted on today?
No.
No.
Well, maybe we took out in those totals, we removed, and let me grab my sheet. We removed a significant dollar amount on a conference. So in a sense, yes, it's part of what we acted on today.
Yeah. So anyway, John, that's fine. Just let you know, even if it is on, I probably won't be going. Light of thing. So.
Good to know. Thank you.
I'm sure you'll keep us abreast as these decisions continue to be made and changes continue to happen. So any other business before the commission today then?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adjourn. We are now adjourned. Thank you, everyone.